grab my notes real quick. I think I already told you, but about a month ago, my little brother was baptized, which is a blessing. And ever since then, I kind of have been thinking about what I could do to help him as far as a lesson goes. Like, what is important for those people who are new Christians to know and understand? And so that's kind of why I preached the last sermon that I did here 2 weeks ago about walking in the light and what it means to walk in the light. And this morning, I want to talk about working in the church. I want to talk about working in the church because, you know, after baptism, many people can be excited and want to be a part of the church and want to work within the church and help grow the church, right? But a lot of the times, it's not totally clear as far as what there is to do. Leaving new Christians to ask, you know, what now? What do I do now? Do I just go to church? How do I live my life as a Christian, and how can I help the church? And so this morning I want to answer some of those questions, and I wanted to have a really practical sermon this morning on what we can do as far as work within the church. And this isn't going to be a complete list. I'm sure I forgot some things, but what I want us to remember this morning is that everyone has a role in the church. Everyone has a role within the work of the church. And so the first kind of question that I would like to answer is, how can I lead in the church? How can I lead? Well, men have been chosen by God to be the leaders, both in the home and in the church. And we can see evidence for that in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24, and also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. But this morning, I want to talk about Ephesians chapter 4. So if you will, open with me there to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll see that we have been given different gifts by God in the form of leadership roles, right? There are different leadership roles that we can have within the church. So, starting in Ephesians 4, whoops, I'm in the wrong book. Ephesians 4, verse 7, it says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift," right? "Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." And we see in verse 11, it says, "And he gave," Christ gave some as apostles, "and he gave some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of God." And so we have a list here of different leadership roles that we can have within the church. And the first one is apostles. Now, obviously, we don't have apostles today anymore. Apostles were people appointed by Jesus himself to lead the early church, the first century church, right? And we can see examples of that in John chapter 1. Verses 35 through 51, it talks about how he appointed the 12 original apostles. We also see that after Judas died, we see that a man named Matthias was chosen to replace him in Acts chapter 1 and verse 23. And we also see that Paul himself was an apostle. He was chosen by God, and he didn't like he didn't think himself worthy of this title, but he was an apostle nonetheless, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. And so obviously that ended when the last apostle died. The next leadership role that we have here is prophets. And again, this is a miraculous spiritual gift that was done away with. We don't have we don't have those miraculous spiritual gifts anymore. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. But there are prophets within the New Testament. And that just means that someone who has a revelation from God, someone who God spoke to directly and gave them a message, right, to give to the people. And so some of those wrote books of the Bible, like Matthew, Mark, and Jude. They weren't necessarily apostles, but they were prophets because they had a message from God, a miraculous message from God. So those two don't really apply to us today. But the next one, he says, Christ gave some as evangelists. This is the first one that we still have today. Now, an evangelist is just someone who proclaims the gospel. Someone who proclaims the gospel. And I think in today's term, we would call it a missionary, right? A missionary. And so we have examples of Paul, right? He was perhaps the greatest missionary of the New Testament. He went on three separate missionary journeys around the Mediterranean and spread the gospel throughout that land. And also, Timothy was specifically called an evangelist by Paul. And so there's a couple more examples of these evangelists, but the more formal title of evangelist or missionary today refers to an official position, typically fully supported by one or multiple churches, and in an effort to spread the gospel either abroad or in the local community. It also could just refer to someone simply reaching out informally in their local communities. You know, we all have to be evangelists to some degree. But if you have a heart for that, if you have a heart for reaching out to people who are lost, then this is something that you can do, right? Something that you can do within the church. If you like traveling, you like to see the world, this again is another thing that you can do. You can travel, kind of see the world and spread the word of God, right? As a missionary. But both kinds, the formal evangelist and the more common evangelist, which is just the everyday Christian, both are vital to the growth of the church. We need outreach, right? We need outreach not only in our communities, but, you know, abroad. And so evangelists, again, if you have that calling to share the gospel, to spread the gospel, this is an option for you, a missionary, evangelist. The next one that we have here in Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 4, sorry, says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors or elders. That's what the word means here, elders. These are the godly leaders of the church, and this congregation is blessed to have elders. It really is a blessing. They are responsible for watching over the congregation, right, and leading them closer to God. And there's a lot of responsibility that comes with being an elder and overseeing the church. And there are quite a few qualifications that go along with that position. You can find all that information in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so if you are called to be a leader in the church, there are many different ways that we can lead. And one of those is as an elder. The next one we see here in this list is teachers, right? It says some as elders and some as teachers. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be a official position, but it's just someone who is teaching the gospel to the congregation, right? Or part of the congregation through Bible studies. This is it's very important to have that kind of longer form, more interactive form of learning about God and learning about the Word. And it's great that you guys are going to be starting that up again next week, right? That's great. We need teachers. We need teachers. And both men and women can be teachers, depending on, again, who they're teaching. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12 talks about how women are not to exercise authority over men in worship, but they certainly can teach children and other women, right? And women teachers are needed to build up not only the children, but also the women of the congregation, right? To have those women's Bible studies. It's important to have those women leaders in that way. But we need teachers, right? And if you enjoy learning about the Bible, and if you enjoy studying the Bible, then this might be an opportunity for you to share some of that knowledge that you have. You don't need any special degree or anything. You just have to know about the Bible and want to share that. So we need teachers. And also, the next few that I'll talk about aren't necessarily in this list that we find here, but I figured I'd talk about them because they are leaders in the church. And the first one I want to talk about is preachers, right? Now, in the early church, the evangelists were the ones who were called the preachers, and they went around to various congregations preaching sermons, converting, exhorting the various congregations, and also starting new ones. And the elders seemed to be the ones who stayed within the local congregations and did the teaching and preaching within the local congregations. And you can kind of see that here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, how in this list, elders and teachers are kind of grouped together. It says, you know, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as elders and teachers. But regardless, our version of preacher is a little different than the first century church. And churches nowadays will often have an official preacher, someone who stays with the congregation, preaches sermons, teaches classes every week, that sort of thing. And again, if you really have that desire to know about the Word, if you have that love in your heart for studying the Bible and want to share that knowledge that you have, being a preacher can be very rewarding for you, to be able to share that knowledge that you have learned with other people. And so we always need preachers, especially here in California. A lot of churches need help, and we need men to step up and to preach and to share what they've learned about God and to help encourage other people. So we need preachers. This congregation has a youth minister, you know. This is not necessarily a title that's found in the Bible, but it's important to the spiritual growth and the involvement of the young people within the church, right, to have someone who is working directly with them and helping them grow. And also, this last one that I'll talk about is found directly in the Bible, which is deacons. And we can see this again in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about deacons. And these are men in the church who are assigned to or who are assigned by the eldership to lead in specific areas of worship or ministry, right? And they're delegated to take care of specific problems that the elders don't necessarily have enough time to take care of themselves. And they're really especially needed in larger congregations where the elders can get spread too thin and have too many bases to cover. And so deacons can be a big help in that way. But when I was a young teen, my dad did some Bible studies with me and my brothers about the qualifications of elders. And he really taught us to live our lives like we are planning to be an elder one day, to live our lives constantly trying to meet that highest mark of a Christian, right? And so this teaching really stuck with me and has encouraged me to this day to live right and to to aspire to be a good leader and possibly an elder one day, to live up to those qualifications. And I want to encourage you young people to study 1 Timothy 3 and set a goal for yourselves for growing up, to grow up living your lives like you will be an elder or an elder's wife one day. And set that goal to be the closest to God that you can be. And I also want to encourage the men of the congregation to step up and, you know, be good, godly leaders in the church, in the world, and at home. And just to keep up doing the good work. Now, there's more to be done in the church than just leadership roles, right? There is more than just leaders. There's room for all types of people within the church, and we have all been given spiritual gifts. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4, it says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things in all persons. But to each one given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." You know, we have all been given spiritual gifts, and we all have separate roles that we can play within the church, but they are all for the common good of the church, right? And now some of these gifts, as we're about to see, no longer are around today. They were miraculous gifts. Gifts like miraculous knowledge of what God wanted us to do, prophecy, speaking in tongues, you know, healings, and other things like that. And we'll see, you can see those gifts in verses 8 through 11, kind of. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." So these are all miraculous gifts. We can see that in chapter 13, the very next chapter in verse 8, Paul says, "Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with." Paul says these specific miraculous gifts will go away once the church is established, once the perfect comes. And that has come, and we don't have these miraculous gifts today. But there are some more practical gifts that we have. If you look further down in chapter 12, in verse 28, actually, I'm going to start in verse 27. It says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I'll show you a still more excellent way." So we see here this list of, again, spiritual gifts, and among these are helps and administrations. And I believe that these spiritual gifts still apply to us today. You know, some people are just naturally inclined to be a helper, to be in that role. and it's much needed. If you don't feel like you will be that good of a leader, but want to help with work in the church, there's still plenty to do, right? Because leaders need people willing to help to accomplish anything, right? And administrations. You know, if you have the gift of being a great administrator, trust me, you can play a role in the church. We need administrators to help keep this place organized and running smoothly, making sure worship goes smoothly, planning events, planning congregational evangelism days, and all sorts of things. If you're a natural administrator, think about helping lead the church. And also, the last spiritual gift I want to talk about is in chapter 13, and it's, of course, love. Now, this whole chapter 13, talks about how important love is and how it's so much more important than any of the other spiritual gifts. It's so much better than any of these miraculous gifts that we don't have today. Think about how amazing those miraculous gifts would have been. And Paul is saying, love is better. Love is more important. Having that gift of love is what is important to us as Christians. If you don't have love, there is no place for you within the church. You know, but some people are blessed with, you know, a naturally loving heart. And others have to work on it. But it's a spiritual gift, and it's the most important of all. If you look again in 13, verse 8, again, love never fails, but these other miraculous gifts do fail. And at the end of the chapter, verse 13, he says, "But now faith, hope, and love abide in these three, but the greatest of these is love." If you don't have love, there's no place for you within the church, because it is vital to our faith. It's vital to what we believe in. It's the basis of our faith as Christians. And so I want to encourage you, if you have that loving heart, don't be shy. You know, go spread that love of Christ. Spread the love of Christ that's within you to those who are both physically and spiritually sick. They need that. So encourage, reach out, if you have that love within your heart. And there's all kinds of different jobs that we can do within the church. But they all work together for the greater good, right? Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. He says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires." And so again, there's all kinds of little things that have to get done within the church. And we all have a role to play. And so I want to encourage you this morning, earnestly desire those spiritual gifts and grow in them. Like Paul says in verse 31, he says, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts." You know, we can all serve God in our own ways, utilizing our own strengths. And I want to encourage you to find yours and to use it. And don't feel bad about your weaknesses if you don't feel comfortable with something. Just work on it. Try little things to try to build up that weakness into a strength. Use your strengths to your advantage and try to get better at your weaknesses. And the last question I want to answer this morning is why? Why do we do it? Why do we work within the church? Why is it important to do all these works within the church? Well, turn with me back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And we see, I want to start again back in the verse that we were already talking about, verse 11. It says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, right? Some as evangelists, some as elders and teachers. And it's all for the equipping of the saints. And that's what all of this is for. Leadership and work within the church is meant to equip our fellow Christians, right? To equip other people to do these five things, to work in the service of the church, to build up each other in the body of Christ, to attain the unity of faith, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to make to make those people mature to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so the reason we have leadership within the church, and the reason that we work within the church, and the reason that we try to encourage one another every day and teach one another, is so that everybody can be fully equipped to do these things, right? To work within the church, to build each other up, to have the unity, and to be a mature Christian, and to be able to stand up to Christ's measure. You know, that's why we have this work within the church. That's why we have teachers. That's why we have preachers. That's why we have elders. It's for that. So we're all fully equipped. And also, again, back where we just were, 1 Corinthians 12, 24 and 25. God has designed the church with different roles and positions which work together so that we are united and so that we take care of one another, right? First Corinthians 12, 24 says, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so all the different roles within the church are meant to work together. And we do all this so that we can become united, one body, right? And so that we take care of one another. And we have to be active within the church. We all have a role to fill. You know, from leading the church as an elder to simply visiting shut-ins or even cleaning the building. There are so many jobs within the church that need to be filled. And we have to do something because we are a part of the body. And the body only works if every little part works together for the greater good of the whole. And we have to build up other members of the congregation through both leadership and works within the church. So again, I want to encourage you this morning, find your place in the body. Because trust me, you have one. You have a place. There are many works to be done within the church, and our faith should be hands-on. Talk to your elders and ask if you can help in some of these areas. You know, if you're very outgoing and you're confident, you know, in your biblical knowledge, think about evangelism, reaching out to other people who are lost. If maybe you're less outgoing and maybe a little bit less confident in your biblical knowledge, think about encouragement, right? People need encouragement, both those who are in the hospital, whether they are within the church or not, those who are within the church, we all need encouragement, right? So think about how you can help the church with that. If you have a heart to help others, again, ministering to the sick, to the shut-ins, to the hospitalized, or to those who have fallen away, if you have that heart of love and you have that desire to help others, think about doing that. Think about acting in that way. If you have the heart to teach and you you have that knowledge within you and you want to share it, think about teaching. Think about preaching. You know, again, there are different age groups that you can teach, and everyone has a role within Christ as far as when it comes to teaching, right? And if you feel called to lead, think about leading worship. You know, we always need song leaders and you know, people to do announcements and the Lord's Supper and all that kind of thing. It's very important to the worship service as a whole. So think about helping in that area. You know, if maybe none of these sound that appealing to you or you don't want to do that, but you still want to help the church and you're a hard worker, you know, physical work around the church can be very much appreciated as well. And finally, just if you have the heart to give, monetary help of the church and of individuals is a huge thing. You know, we're all called to give. But that again, is another way that you can help the church and that you can work within the church. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of everyday life and not make time for church work, but it's important. You know, we are a part of this body, and there are plenty of jobs to be done. Find your calling and emphasize that area of church work in your life. But don't neglect the other jobs just because you don't like to do them. Get out of your comfort zone. And you might find you enjoy doing something you didn't think you would enjoy, but regardless, just get out there and work for the church. This whole lesson has been aimed at those who are already Christians, but I want to take this very last segment to extend an invitation to those who are not already Christians. You know, we serve a loving God, and if you are ready this morning to begin your walk with Him and to be baptized, or if you have any other needs this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.